the seven sayings of the Savior on the cross. And this is the first saying of our Savior on the cross. And you'll find it there in verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see how they treated our Lord Jesus Christ. They came and got him in the garden. He was led as a lamb out of the garden. 500 men come to get him. They apprehended him. Tried him in the Sanhedrin, in the high priest court. Sent him to Pilate. Pilate sent him back to Herod. Herod tried him. The soldiers put on a robe on him and a crown of thorns on his head, and found him an old reed, stuck it in his hands, and said, bowed to him like he is a king. Slapped him and mocked him. Pilate come out and told him, please let this fellow go. He's not done anything worthy of death. But that mock and that crowd just kept crying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. They said, well, we got a murderer here that wants to go free. Would you rather have a murderer go free than this man who's done nothing? They said, yes, we would. Turn loose that murderer. Turn loose that manslayer. And take this man who's done nothing, who is perfect in all of his ways, you take him and crucify him. And so they brought him out of Jerusalem, and a whole big mocking, screaming crowd following him where he was going. And some women were weeping and crying and lamenting. And our Lord told him, he says, you don't cry for me. Whatever you do, don't cry for me. You cry for yourselves. You weep for yourselves. You're the ones in trouble. You're the ones that need hope. You're the ones that need help. You're the ones. If they done this in a living tree, what in the world will they do with a tree that's dead and dry? And that's what he's talking about. And this screaming mob, they brought him out there, and the scripture says there in verse 33, and when they were come to the place called Calvary, in the margin says place of a skull, there they crucified him. Now that don't sound like much. There they crucified him. That means that they took his hands and took his feet and took big nails, and some big burly soldier reached back with a hammer and nailed those nails through his hands. And them bones were crushed going through them. Blood started coming out of them. Took his feet, crossed them one on top of the other. Took that big old hammer and drove that big spike in there again. All the way through his feet. Blood's all over him. He'd been beaten. He'd been slapped. He'd been spat on. And he'd been forsaken. And they don't, not only that, but they brought two malefactors. Men guilty of crimes, actual crimes. And crucified them too, one on either side of him. And as he hangs there, he's being derided, he's being ridiculed, he's being spat at, he's being made a mockery of, and a lot of them were standing there enjoying what they were seeing very much. And after our Lord had been treated so cruelly by everybody that was anybody, by king, by the religious, and by the governor, top people in the country. after being treated so cruelly by the high priest, by Herod and by Pilate and by the Jews, our Lord's mouth is very parched. The scripture said over in Psalm 22 that his tongue cleaved to his jaws. And our Lord, you think that the first time he had opened his mouth, that he would have pronounced a curse on these people. You'd think when he opened his mouth, the first words out of him, the Lord's going to swallow up the earth and damn you all right now. You'd think that's what he might have done. You think he's going to call out for pity the first time he opens his mouth? Please have pity on me. I'm a pitiful person. They're treating me pitifully. I've been mistreated to the utmost degree. No, no. But when he opens his mouth on that cross, with all that's just happened to him, with all they just did to him, look what he says. Father, Father, my Father, my Father, forgive them. And this why, for they know not what they do. Oh my. And while he was saying this, there were men at the bottom of his cross. When he said this, there were men gambling for his clothes at the foot of his cross. And what our Lord is doing is he's praying for his enemies. He is praying. This is the first time that our Lord speaks on the cross. And he's praying. And what is he praying for? For Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. Huh? Our Lord's ministry started, his public ministry started with a prayer. The day he was baptized, the scripture says that he rose up out of the water praying, praying. And he ends his life praying. And he does it with a prayer here. And what's he praying for? He's praying for his enemies. He's praying for those who came and got him. He's praying for those who cruelly mistreated him. He's praying for those who cursed him. He's praying for those who spat on him. He's praying for his enemies. And I tell you what, when our Lord prays for his enemies, let us always remember this, that nobody's beyond the reach of prayer. Nobody. If our Lord prays and reaches out for people, and I tell you something else, his prayer was effectual. When he prayed, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, his prayer was effectual. You know the first evidence of his prayer being effectual? That thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom. Our Lord said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. That's the first answer to that prayer. And then the second answer is when that centurion was when Christ died on the cross and all that phenomenon happened, he said, truly, truly, this is a righteous man. Truly, this was the Son of God. And then on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 at one time. And I'll tell you what, and that's what Peter said, I walked through ignorance that you did this as did your rulers. And that's why our Lord said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And you know our Lord Jesus, he prayed for us. He prayed for us. In John 17:20, our Lord said, I pray for them which shall believe through their word. So I tell you what, we're answers to our Lord's prayer. We're answers to our Lord's prayer. And I want you to look with me in Isaiah 53. Look in Isaiah 53. This is a fulfillment of a prophecy. When our Lord said these things, these are the fulfillment of a prophecy. When he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Look in verse 12 with me. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Listen to this. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Now listen, this is the fulfillment of it. He is numbered with the transgressors. He is hung between two transgressors. Two men. And listen to this. And he bare the sin of many. And here's the fulfillment of this right here. And made intercession for the transgressors. Numbered with them. And prayed for them. Made intercession for who? The transgressors. All of God's transgressors. All of us were transgressors. And so he was numbered with transgressors. He made intercession for who? For transgressors. Here in Isaiah it says he was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. It told us he was to be wounded. He was to be bruised. He is to be chastised. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was led with no resistance. He poured out his soul unto death. They took him down and buried him in a rich man's tomb. And the last word is that last word of Isaiah 53. When you start out there, and you get to the last verse, the last words, he made intercession for the transgressors. Made intercession for them. And here's the fulfillment of it. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when he done this, he thought of his murderers. He pleaded for them who crucified him. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. First, it's a fulfillment of a prophecy concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second thing we see here, when our Lord prayed, Father, forgive them. Here we see Christ identified with his people. You notice what he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, did you and I know what was happening when our Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross? We was ignorant of it. We didn't know what we was doing. We didn't know when we had these thoughts of Christ. And oh my, he forgave others. Our Lord Jesus, when they let that man down in the roof of that house, he said, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And that woman who came in and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with the hairs of her head, he said, Woman, thy sins be forgiven thee, which are many. And here he is, he's asking God, Oh Father, you forgive. You forgive. Why is he asking God forgiveness? Because right now, our Lord Jesus Christ is not standing in the place where he can forgive. He's hanging there as a sin bearer. He's hanging there as a sacrifice. He's hanging there as a substitute. And when the Jews said, Who can forgive sins but God only? That's absolutely so. And when it comes to the cross, when our Lord was there, he was there as a man, dying as a man. And he's there as the Lord's Lamb. We sang that song. O Lamb of God, I come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come to thee. He is God's Lamb hanging there. Here he is a sacrifice for sin. How awful must sin be that it took the Lord Jesus Christ to put it away. You know, he said, And if I be lifted up from the earth. And here he is lifted up between heaven and earth. And when he's lifted up on that cross, the first thing out of his mouth was, Father, forgive them. He's identified with his people. When I hear that, say that, I think of myself. Father, forgive them. Forgive me. Forgive them. Forgive them. He looked down through eternity and he said, Forgive them. Forgive these my enemies. And we were enemies in our minds by wicked works. Yet Christ stood in our room, stood in our tent, in our place. He's identified with these people. And he's always been identified with these people. When they come to take him in the garden, he said, if you want me, let these go their way. And when he died on that cross, bless his name, he identified with us. And that's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. When Christ died, we died. When Christ was buried, we was buried. When he rose, we arose. When he ascended, we ascended. Why? Because he's so identified with these people. He said, Father, I pray not for the world, but for them that gavest me out of the world. And here we see when our Lord said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They know not what they do. We see God's estimate, how God views sin and the guilt that's associated with sin. You know, under the law, God required an atonement for sins that's made of ignorance, made out of ignorance. You know, I want you to see, look with me over here in Leviticus chapter 5. You know, when men sin ignorantly, and there had to be an atonement. Say, well, I didn't know. You know, if you go to court and you say, well, I didn't know the law, said ignorance is can't use ignorance as an excuse. And look what he said here in verse 5. You know, under the law, God required a sin offering, a sacrifice to be made for sins of ignorance. When a person sinned and he didn't know he sinned. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespassing unto the Lord. Am I in Leviticus 5? Yeah. 15. Excuse me. I'm in the wrong place. Luke 5:15. And I started reading, I said, there's no ignorance there. Look what he said in verse 15. The Lord spake unto Moses, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, that he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy estimation after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done, listen to this, in the holy thing. And shall add the fifth part thereof and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespassing offering. And it shall be forgiven him. Now I wonder how many sins we've committed that we're absolutely not conscious of at all. Huh? Well, sin is sin whether you know it or not. Sin before God is always sin, whether you're conscious of it or not. I tell you, sin in God's sight, whether it's conscious of it or ignorance, or don't make any difference. Sin is always sin in God's sight. And sins of ignorance need somebody to put them away just as much as they do when you deliberately sin. Yes. And I tell you what, there's no telling. God only knows how many sins we commit that we're not even conscious of. What about the ones that we are conscious of? And even though we're ignorant of many things that we've done, still the fault is ours and the blame is ours, and God's going to say that the blame is ours. You see, God's got a very, very high standard. His standard is higher than any man's on the face of this earth. His law is way up there, and he ain't going to bring it down. He ain't going to bring it down to meet our needs. No, no. And I tell you, you know the only place where he met the standard that was up to where he is, that was his blessed Son hanging on that cross. He was equal to his Father. He could satisfy his Father. He can put away sin in the sight of His Father. His blood can cleanse us from all our sins in the sight of His Father. And I tell you what, this is what's so blessed, that His blood cleanses from how many sin? All of them. And you know all of our sins were future when Christ died for us. Being my sweet wife Shirley, this morning we both were talking about it. Does sometimes something come across your mind, something you done years ago, or something you done in your youth, or something you just done 2 or 3, 4 years ago, does it ever come to your mind and you just, oh, God, forgive me. You automatically start saying, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Oh, I how could I have done that? Oh, how could I have done that? Huh? And I tell you, I don't know why these things come to our mind. But I know that whatever it is, Christ has already took care of it. But still yet, it troubles me. It bothers me. It shames me. And I shouldn't feel guilty about it, but I cannot help it. Because it's so a shameful thing. It's such an awful thing to deliberately sin against God. To walk right in where the light's at and walk over here in the darkness and do something that's awful and sinful and against God Himself. How did I get out in that darkness? How did I leave this light and go do that sinful thing? I bet none of you probably ever had that feeling. Huh? But then you know what our Lord says? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And here's another thing. When our Lord said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We see how blind, how sinful, how wicked the human heart is. They knew not what they do. Now when it says here, they knew not what they do, you reckon those people said crucifying, crucifying, didn't know what they were doing? Huh? They weren't ignorant of the fact of it. In fact, they asked them to it. They were there when they nailed him to the cross. Huh? Pilate, finally, he says the voices of them prevailed. And in one place, it says that Pilate willingly gave in to the people. They just kept on and kept on and kept on. He said, the only way I can shut them up is to let them do what they want to do. And I'll let them have it. I'll let them have it. And they seem there nailed to that cross. When he says they know not what they do, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? There were people that were eyewitnesses there. They knew exactly what was going on. Huh? What did our Lord mean then when he says they know not what they do? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think it means. They were ignorant of who it actually was that they crucified on that cross. Huh? They were ignorant of the enormous, enormous crime that they had just committed. They were ignorant of who was on that cross, why he was on that cross, and what would be accomplished on that cross. All they saw is they said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. Then do you know it says that the princes of this world knew they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's who they crucified. And they did not understand the enormity of their crime. Them Jews told him in one place over there in John 18, said, let his blood be on us and on our children. Now you imagine that, said, if we're going to kill him, but let him, you know, we are not worried about what we're doing against him. You let his blood be counted us. And you know, God told his preachers He said, listen, you'll be guilty of the blood of souls if you don't, blood will be on your hands if you don't tell men the truth. And this is what they said. They said, will his blood be on our hands then? There's nothing to him. He's nobody. He's an imposter. So his blood be on us and on our children. That's an enormous crime. And they knew not who it was that they crucified. Now they ought to have known. They ought to have known. You follow him in his life. They ought to have known by the words that he said. Did he ever utter a word that wasn't perfect and complete and glorious and kind and compassionate? Did he ever utter a word that wasn't truth? Did he ever say anything that wasn't perfect? Well, did he ever say anything? Did he ever do anything? His deeds. Follow him around. Look at what he did. Find a leper that he cleansed. Find the blind man that he gave sight to. Find that woman who said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Find Lazarus who he said, Lazarus, come forth. Find the 5,000 he said, sit down here and I'll feed you. What do you got here? I got 5 fishes and 2 loaves of bread. Give it to me. Pass it out. They brought back 12 baskets full of food after he fed them. Find those that fed him. Find Simon Peter that was out on the water walking to him. And somehow Simon Peter started going down and he said, Lord, save me, I perish. And he rushed and got him. Oh. Follow him around with his deeds. Follow him around when he took Jairus' daughter and put his own hand and lifted her up. Oh my. They ought to know who he was because of what he did. They picked up stones to stone him one time when he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to stone him. And he said, for what good work are you going to stone me? You know what they said? We're not going to stone you for a good work. We don't care about good works. Everybody ought to do good works. You know what we're going to stone you for? Because you, being a man, make yourself to be God. And we can't have that. Because if you're God, we're going to have to face you as God. We're going to have to deal with you as God. And we're not going to do that. Huh? And then, oh, our Lord's work. My soul, what work he did. No wonder he asked him, said, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of him? If our Lord asked you today, ask me or you today, what think ye of Christ? What would you say? Huh? What would you say? If our Lord asked you today, what do you think of Christ? What would you say? How would you answer that? What do you think about him? Who do you think he is? What do you think he did? Who do you think he did it for? Why did he do it for them? What did he do before God? Oh, what think you of Christ? He asked his disciples that one day. He said, who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Because you're such a sorrowful person. You weep. And some say you're one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answers, says, Thou art the Christ, the one anointed of God, the one sent of God. The Old Testament pictures and types and prophecies concern. You're Thou the Christ. And not only you're the one that God sent, but you're the Son of the living God. Now, you know what our Lord said? Oh, my, you're blessed. Why are you blessed? Because flesh and blood didn't make you understand that. My Father gave you that. Huh? Oh, my. They ought to have known who He was. And that's one of the awfulest, shamefulest things that I've ever faced in my life. Is the things that I did not know about Him and preached anyway. The things that I said about Him, the things that I thought about Him, and the things that I preached. I preached a human righteousness besides the righteousness of Christ. I preached living right more than getting life from Christ. I preached how to dress and dress right rather than being dressed in the blessed righteousness of Christ. Yeah. No wonder our Father said, Father, our Lord said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Oh, bless His name. I'm grateful He prayed that for me. I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. You're talking about ignorant. And then I tell you, our Lord, here is an example of his own. He practiced what He preached. He actually, you listen to what He said over here in Matthew chapter 5. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what. He's praying for His enemies. Look in Matthew chapter 5. It's in Matthew 5 and verse 43. Oh, our Lord, He followed His own example. Look what He says here in verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, but hate your enemy. But look what our Master said. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He said, you know, did our Lord love our enemies? Love His enemies? And look what He says. Bless them that curse you. They were cursing Him. Oh, how they cursed Him. And He said, pray for them. Bless them. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What did our Lord do on that cross? He done every one of those. He loved His enemy and prayed for him. Huh? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You've heard it said. People say it's awful hard to forgive. If it becomes hard to forgive, I don't know what to think about it. To me, I'm speaking for myself. I'll speak for me. When God saves a man, He finds it so easy to forgive. And I said this, I don't know how many times I've said this, charity covers a multitude of sins. Put the best spin on anything anybody says to you, does to you, says about you. Because, listen, anything they say, you didn't do it, you at least thought it. So you'd be guilty of it. But it is easy. If somebody wrongs you, it's easy. Why is it easy? Because, listen, I know what I am. I know what I am. How can we hold grudges when Christ forgave us? How can we not forgive when Christ forgave us? How can we not put if somebody says something bad to us, so what? So what? So what? They're speaking to a man. Look at things they said about God. It's so wrong. Listen. Our Lord said, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. And our brothers and sisters is not our enemies, but still yet we all offend in every part with this tongue of ours. So the next time somebody says something to you, somebody says something to hurt your feelings, somebody says something to offend you, somebody gets in your face, well, they had a bad day. They didn't mean it. Well, no, so tell them what was going on in their life. There's no telling what just happened to them. You just never know what goes on in a person's heart and life that makes them say or do something at that particular time. Would you all not agree with that? Huh? I've heard people say, I just know I can forget. I can forgive, but I can't forget. Well, then you can't forgive. If you can't forget, you can't forgive. I'm telling you the truth. Now you wait a minute. I'm telling you the truth. If you can't forget, you can't forgive. You know what it means? If you can't forget, that means that you're still holding that grudge. You're still holding it against them. And what if Christ treated us like we treated one another? We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? You say, boy, you're meddling now. No, I'm not meddling. I'm telling you the truth. When you forgive, you forget. When you forgive, you let it go. You let it go. That's what our Lord taught us right there. And did our Lord do us that way? Huh? If any have a quarrel against any, let them forgive them, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Ain't that what it said? It'd be awful to go around in life just feeling, holding grudges against people, not forgiving people. That'd be an awful way to live. That's the way of a transgressor. The way of a transgressor is hard. But not the Lord's people. Our way's not hard, is it? Our ways, our burden's light. Oh, our Lord's done so much for us. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, He taught truth because He was truth. And there is no way in the world that we're not going to offend one another at some time. It's just an impossibility. Just an impossibility. We'll open our mouth and a lot of times we'll offend when we had no idea that we'd done it. Are we going to turn around and say, well, you just hurt my feelings? No. You know what you're going to say? Well, they just... No telling what's going on. That's the only thing you can do. It's the only thing you can do. And here I'll tell you what. Our Lord, He followed His own example. He prayed for His enemies. He loved His enemies. Bless them that cursed Him. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. And here we see, when our Lord prayed, we see man's greatest need. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Huh? We're sinners. We are sinners. Not pretend sinners. Not preacher-made sinners. Not church-made sinners. Not priest-made sinners. Oh no, men may have great, great ideals and noble ideals that I'm going to accomplish these great things. They may make great, good resolutions. Good resolutions. They may make them a set of rules to live by. I went to a place down in Goodlettsville, Tennessee to preach one time, and the fellow had 25 things written on the big old cardboard on the wall. that to be a member of that church, you had to do all those things. And he told me, he said, and there was about 15, 20 people there. A fellow named Bobby Flatt. And there's about 15, 20. He said, you know, said this church, said I've had, there's been so many people saved here that this building wouldn't hold them. But they all backslid. I said, no wonder. I said, you know, who lives by that right there? That's the first thing needs to go. That, but people set up rules for you to live by. Wouldn't it, you know, I thought of this morning. If I got on people for not reading their Bible, I can't do that because I don't read my Bible that much. If I got on you for praying, not praying, when I don't pray that much. And what I'm telling you is that you do not preach nothing but how desperately we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody knows what goes on in their life. Everybody knows that we do not live according to our own ideals. Everybody knows that. But that's why we need Christ and we come to Christ. We're sinners. Oh my. Everything that a person thinks or does in this world is useless and vain until this question about sin is settled once and for all. Oh my, if you got paralyzed feet, what do you need shoes for? If you're blind, glasses ain't going to do you no good. And that's why our Lord said, Father, forgive them. Who needs forgiveness? Sinners need forgiveness. Sinners need forgiveness. Huh? Oh my. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter who you know. Sin is a nature. Sin is not what we do. We do what we do because we are sinners. A man don't become a sinner when he lies. He lies because he's a sinner. A man don't become a thief and steal something becomes a sinner. He steals because he's a sinner. And I'll tell you, sin is our nature. It's our nature. Sin is our name. What's your name? Sinner? Sinner! Born that way. Live that way. And if God don't take care of my sin, I'll die that way. Huh? And our sin is before God. God who is infinitely holy. Huh? So how can He justly forgive us our sins? And that's why Peter stood and preached, said, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, Father, forgive them. Through this man, it's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him you can be justified from all things that you could not be justified any other way. Huh? Oh my. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Father, forgive them. Huh? I heard old Bonner say one time you go to bed and sometimes your sins crawl over one another's back to see which one's the worst. But oh, bless God's name. Christ said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Who needs forgiveness? Sinners do. And then here's my last thing about this cross. It says there in verse 34, back where we started. Here's the victory of redeeming love. You know, we sang that song, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Then, when the vileness and depravity of the human heart was on display, then, when man had done his very worst, then, when wicked hands had crucified the Lord of glory, our Lord could have destroyed them like that. He could have poured His wrath out on them like that. He could have caused the earth to swallow them up like it did Korah. But here He was subjected to unspeakable shame. You know what made His cross so awful and His suffering so awful? Is because who it was that suffered. Huh? Who it was that suffered. Oh my. He was suffering excruciating pain. He was despised. He was rejected. Nevertheless, He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, redeeming love won the victory that day. Over sin, over His enemies. And I tell you something else, when He said, Father, forgive them, His redeeming love forgave all our sins. They're completely gone, perfectly gone, full forgiveness, past, present, and future sins. He said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I want to show you one thing and I'll be done. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You know, blessed is the man. When our Lord said, Father, forgive them, here it was, His redeeming love, that blood that flowed from that cross, forgave, won the victory, got victory over all our sins, full forgiveness. Look what is said here in verse 13. Buried with Him in baptism, where also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Now see, God done this. God operated the faith in us, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and this old filthiness of your flesh, hath He quickened, given life together with them. Listen to this. Having forgiven you all trespasses. So when Christ shall appear, shall we also appear with Him in glory. There is right now, therefore now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Oh, ain't you thankful that our Lord prayed, Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they've done. They don't know. We didn't know, but He did. And not only did He know what we did, but He knows who we are. And He says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Our blessed Savior, oh great and glorious God, Thou who loved us, oh You loved us. You went to that cross for us, that humiliation. That humiliation, that suffering, that shame. Hated and despised, rejected, counted as nothing in men's sight. But yet is numbered with the transgressors, and You made intercession for them transgressors. And Lord, all of us here today are transgressors. But Lord, You prayed for us. You prayed, Father, forgive them. And Lord, we thank You that You prayed, Father, forgive them. For they know not what to do. And Lord, how ignorant we've been in our life. But bless Your holy name for praying for us. You even pray for us even now. And we thank You for that. In Christ's name. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath. that flood, loose all the guilty stains, loose all the guilty stains, loose all the guilty stains. All gone. See you tonight, God willing.